Open our Bibles, please, to Ezekiel. And if your Bible's anything like mine, the pages are pretty unworn there. Ezekiel chapter 44. I do confess, I do read it. I will confess also, I have never really studied it. But in my reading of this book, I try to underline something as I go through every book. And especially the books that I don't understand that well, I underline something that I can take for myself. Well, I just went through this book again, and I was surprised that I underlined the same thing I underlined last time I went through. As I underline them on my iPad, and they come up in different colors. And when I brought it up, I thought, oh, I did that verse before. So this week I've been going over this scripture, and I want to speak from it a little bit this afternoon. Chapter 44 of Ezekiel, and we're going to begin reading at verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zodak. Now they're all the same people, okay? The priests are the Levites, and they are the sons of Zodak. That kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. Now in the next 8 verses, it's all about them. You'll see that. They. And they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And they shall come, and it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gate of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them. While they minister in the gates of the inner court and within, they shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes to sweat. And when they go forth into the utter court, or the outer court, even unto the outer court of the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only pull their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Now it's particularly verse 23 that I have underlined, and I want to speak to you about this. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy, and King James says the profane, the word is the common. The difference between the holy and the common. These were people that knew the difference themselves. These priests, that's why I read all those verses, because they had to make a difference in their lives. They couldn't dress the way they wanted to dress, where they wanted to dress, and how they wanted to dress. Now, don't get your hackles up. I'm not going to speak on dress. Just relax. You can go back to sleep if you like. I'm not speaking on dress. But they couldn't dress the way they wanted to. They had to dress the way the Lord told them to dress when they went into the inner court. Because God said, these are the men that are going to teach my people the difference. Got it? There was a difference in here and out there. God says there is a difference. There's a difference in the way the priests dress. They could dress one way at home. They could dress one way in the outer court. But when they came inside, no. Couldn't dress the same. They had certain clothes, not only they had to wear, but not the way they looked. It was the materials they were made out of. They had to teach the people the difference. They had to eat different. And they had to teach the people the difference. They had to cut their hair different. And they had to teach the people the difference. So that these men, by their lives, were already living what now they're going to speak about. They're going to teach God's people the difference between the holy and the common. There are things that are God's and they're special. They're for God. They're not common. They're God's. And there is a difference. And then there's the clean and the unclean. They were to teach the difference. Okay, I labored it long enough. You got it? We're done with it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. That's as far as I'm going with that. You can read into it and out of it what you like. But that's as far as I'm... There is a difference. Don't forget it. Now, what I would like to do with the help of God for a few minutes is, as a priest, because I am, and by the way, so are you. If you're saved, you're a priest. I didn't even see a single head nod to that. You believe it? David Hurlihy believes it. Okay, we're okay. And Richard believes it. You're a priest. Now things are different. And you should know the difference between the common and the holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God. I'm going to read it the way it should be. Unto the assembly of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust that God will bless what we've read of his word together. So I would like to spend a few minutes, in case you don't know, to teach you the difference. We're living in a day when people say there's no difference. That's the going thing today. Doesn't make any difference. As long as you can raise your right hand and say, I love Jesus, there's no difference. But the Bible says there's a difference. There is a difference between the common and the holy. We have to make differences in our lives. There's a difference between your house and the house of God. I would like to teach you the difference. Now, my reason for this is this. I know I'm a dinosaur in the sense that I'm old, fashion. And old in my thinking. And maybe even old in my teaching. And I'll take that, okay? I don't mind being rated with the dinosaurs. But I'm seeing something happen today that concerns me, not for me, but concerns me for you that are younger. I am in the assembly of God today, not because of me, but because there was a generation above me that knew the difference and passed things on to my generation that I never discovered for myself. That they discovered in the Word of God, and they established at tremendous cost to them. I knew nothing of the cost. They discovered, they bought truth from the Word of God, and they made a difference and taught me that difference. I just walked into it. Anybody here like that? At least nod your head. You don't have to say amen. You walked into truth of something others bought with their lives. And we came into it, and we were taught the difference. Now, here's what concerns me. My days are numbered. I know that. And my time of service is numbered. I know that. Will I be able to teach the rising generation there is a difference? Will they understand what we have understood? And will they know that there's such a difference that their lives, like our lives, have been totally committed to this difference? Do I need to spell it out? People say you need to live for the Lord. Well, that is true. You do need to live for the Lord. The most precious thing to the Lord on planet Earth is the assembly that He bought with His own blood. To live for the Lord in our day is to live in the place that's different. His place. I want to point out some very simple differences. You will know these. They're not rocket science. You know there's a difference between the assembly of God and paganism. That doesn't need much explanation, does it? You know there's a big difference between idolatry and the assembly of God. You know that. What is the difference? Well, first of all, as soon as you look at paganism, you are looking at gross immorality. But when you look at the assembly of God, hopefully you're looking at purity. The difference is purity. God has brought us into a place that's different than paganism. That's different than idolatry. That's different than immorality. I don't need to preach on that. You know that. That's a vast difference between outright paganism and the assembly of God. What a difference. The difference of purity. But if we went back to the early first century, there was paganism. There was the idol's temple. But there was also the Jewish synagogue. Are we the Jewish synagogue? Come on, the Jews believed the Word of God. They had the Word of God. Was there a difference between the assembly of God and the Jewish synagogue? Well, you say, I've never been to a synagogue. Well, if you went to a synagogue, they would open the Scripture. We know that. Because the Lord Jesus opened the Scripture and read in the synagogue, as was His custom to do on the Sabbath day. So they read the Word of God. In the Jewish synagogue, they would talk about the Messiah. Well, we open the Word of God in the assembly. So are we the same thing? No, what's the difference? There was a vast difference. Because in the Jewish synagogue, they were waiting for the Lord to come. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. But the assembly of God, we believe the Messiah has come. He's our Savior. So the difference was a huge difference. It was a difference in testimony. One is saying He's coming. The other one's saying He's here. He's right here in our midst. He's gathered with us. That's a vast difference. Both using the same Bible. and yet a tremendous difference. There is a difference. And that's why those early believers that came out of the Jewish synagogue and gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, they were marked. What were they marked by? They were different. That's what they were marked by. These are a different people. They were hated. They were hated by the Jews. Why? Because the Jew says, he's coming. The believer said, he came. And he died on the cross for our sins. What a difference. Big difference. But now let's bring it down to our day and age a little bit more. Now, I'm going to speak about denominations, okay? Now, if there's anyone here from the denominations, I am not throwing stones at you. If you are a believer, we love you. And I'm not saying anything about the believers in the denominations. I'm not going to even talk about the believers. I'm talking about the systems. Do you know what denominate means? Just think about it. Do you know what denominate means? It means to name. You know what denominations are? They're groups of religious people that have chosen a name other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They call themselves by a name other than Christ. Now, is there a difference? Oh, you say, well, you're the Brethren. That's a denominational name. We're not the Brethren. Oh, you're the Gospel Haulers. No, we're not the Gospel Haulers. We do not have a denominational name. Check into a hospital sometime and you'll frustrate the administration. Give us a name, they say. I said, I'll give you a name. Put down there a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, we all are. I said, no, you're not. But I am, so put it down. There is a difference, a big difference. I don't want to get too far into this and too far ahead of myself. To show you that I'm not against denominational believers, and I'm not. There were great reformers in the denominations. Who hasn't heard of Martin Luther? And we revere him. But I'm going to read you something that Martin Luther wrote. Okay? Listen to it. I'll read it word for word. I pray you, leave my name alone. Do not call yourself Lutherans, but Christians. Who is Luther? My doctrine is not mine. I have not been crucified for anyone. Paul would not that any be called by his name or Peter's. How then does it befit me, a miserable bag of dust and ashes, to give my name to the children of Christ? He saw the difference. While he knew nothing about assembly testimony, he saw the difference. There is a vast difference. Now, we're living in an age when people are saying there's no difference, and we can go here and we can go there and we can go there as long as we're all believers. We are not all believers, folks. Get your head on. There are systems. We are not part of a system. We have been called out of the systems of this world. God has made that difference. And he's called out a people unto himself. What a difference. That's a huge difference. To pull out from this world a people for himself. I was going to touch on Christendom. I'm not really. Except to say this. That really denominationalism came out of Christendom. Okay? But Christendom was a beast of itself. It was an unholy marriage of church and state. What this country, Canada, and the countries of the south of us were founded on. The difference between church and state. But Christendom was a marriage of church and state. That's what it was. It was an unholy marriage. And it brought in all kinds of things from which today it has filtered down to everybody breaking under that great umbrella to a name of this and a name of that. Sometimes it's people's names. Sometimes it's doctrinal names. And they gather under any other name but the name of Jesus Christ alone. What are we in the assembly of God? This isn't pride now. It should humble every heart here to be called by the Lord Jesus. To take none other name than His name alone. To be linked with the Christ of God on earth. What a privilege. Because we're going to be linked with Him forever. This is the time of His rejection on earth. And we're linked with a rejected Christ. That's a difference. A big difference. Let me touch on another difference that you should know. Most of these things you know. What about the difference between the church locally, and locally is not even found in the Scripture. So I'm going to use the assembly, because that is found in the Scripture. The assembly of God and the body of Christ. Are they the same thing? Oh no, there's a difference. Teach my people the difference. There is a huge difference. And some have even said, well, you know, the assembly is just a miniature of the big thing. No, it's not. Absolutely not. Not the same thing at all. In fact, as far as I can say, and some of you wiser men here can correct me on this, the church, which is His body, as far as I can see, that's a heavenly body. That's going to exist forever. But the assembly of God is a very temporary thing. The way you come into the church, which is His body, happens at conversion. Every single person on the face of this earth that is saved by the grace of God, when God saved them, He placed them into the body of Christ. Nothing and no one can ever take them from it. They're there eternally. That's not so with the assembly of God. You come into the assembly of God by choice. Based on your convictions and your beliefs in the Scriptures. And your acceptance by the believers that are already there. Into upholding the same truths. Every believer in the assembly of God should be someone that has trusted Christ. Every believer should be someone that has trusted Christ. In the assembly of God, it's not only made up of trusted believers, but it's made up of people that are concerned for truth. That's not so in the body of Christ, but in the local assembly, in the assembly of God, we are gathered because of our beliefs in the truth of New Testament Scriptures. That's what keeps us. That's our binding force. Our convictions on the truths of the Scriptures. And every believer in the assembly of God has a testimony to live. Everyone. In fact, if you don't live your testimony according to the Word of God, you'll find yourself outside the assembly of God. Now that's a difference. Because nothing can put you out of the church, which is His body. Nothing. Need to know the differences. We are not gathered on the grounds of the body. No. God gathers us on the grounds of the body when He saved us. That's going to be displayed as the bride of Christ, I believe, eternally. That's a heavenly thing. Our gathering now, we are gathered by the Spirit of God when we adhere to the truths of the New Testament and we want to live them out in our lives and band together by His Spirit with other believers of like precious faith. There's a difference. You see, if you don't understand the difference, you will never put your heart and soul into the assembly. But if you do understand the difference, and you want to live for the Lord, then you're going to want to live for God's assembly. This is His place. This is the place He has on earth that He has made different. This is a place, yes, it's a place of reproach. We're not promising you glory. We're not promising you fame or fortune. You might only be gathered with two or three. You might only be gathered with a few weak believers. But you can gather in a place where God has placed His name. And where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is honored. And where Christ Himself is in the midst. Oh, I'll tell you, that's a difference. That's a different place. Lastly, the difference is not only in unity, but I want to speak about a difference in liberty. Every assembly, we heard about it this morning a little bit, is autonomous. Not really a good word. It's not a Bible word. It's not really a good word. Because you know what autonomous means? It means self-governing. Not true. Not true. We are governed by God. We are governed by God's Word. And yes, every assembly, the elders of that assembly, the overseers of that assembly, under the truth of God, directed by the Spirit of God, they are not answerable to a governing body, a headquarters on earth. In that, we are autonomous. But that gives us tremendous liberty. Tremendous liberty. Liberty to follow the whole Word of God. You understand that? Now, that's different. Our brother was telling us, and thank God, he went into an Anglican church and preached the gospel. Tell me, why isn't the gospel always preached there? I'll tell you a little story. Man's name was John Barnes from Newfoundland. Got saved in gospel meetings I had. And shortly after he got saved, he came to me all happy and just beaming. He said, "Guess what? I'm going into the ministry. I just got accepted to be an Anglican minister, going to school." And my heart sank, but that's John, what do you, no, God's called. Anyway, 4 years later, John comes out, graduated, all pumped up, got his first posting in a place called St. Jones Within. Newfoundland has great names. St. Jones Within. And there he goes, off to preach the gospel in the Anglican church. 3 weeks later, the bishop visited him and said, "John, you're fired. We don't preach that here." "What do you mean?" He said, "What did I preach?" He said, "You preach in your 1 half-hour message, you preached over 50 times, saved, saved, saved." He said, "Why are you at this business being saved?" He said, "Sir, because you need to be saved." He said, "You're fired." John called me all upset. You smile at that, but John called me all upset. I said, "John, you do not have liberty there to preach the whole Word of God. But in the assembly of God, if a man stands up with the Word of God, he has liberty to apply the whole Word of God. Directed by the Spirit of God, there's tremendous liberty to believe what God says." Now that's different. You're not going to find that elsewhere. There is a difference. Teach my people the difference. But there is a unity between assemblies. You say, "Well, is that scriptural?" Yeah, that is. Very scriptural. And it's not because we all agree to band together. It's a liberty of light. It's a unity of light. As we walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. And brethren, in the assemblies in PEI, and in the assemblies in the Maritimes, and in the assemblies in Ontario, and across Canada, and across the United States, as we walk in the light, We have fellowship one with another. But when we cease to walk in the light, you're going to find you're not in fellowship with the assemblies around you. Because when you walk in darkness, you don't do the truth. It's a principle that can be taken personally and that carries over into the assemblies. There is a difference. But the unity comes from walking in the truth of the Word of God. And as we walk in the light, then we share with each other. That's why we commend each other to each other. When you visit another assembly, you can get a letter of commendation because we're walking in the same light. Pretty hard to be commended to a place that's not walking in the same light. There's a difference. Ah, but there's a tremendous unity. And it comes with this liberty of just going by the Word of God. Now, having said all that, here's my point in it all. If you want to live for God today, you want something that's going to last for all eternity, a reward for living for Christ here and now, don't waste your time in these para-church type of fellowships. By the way, there's a difference in them too. There's some well-meaning organizations out there. There's Christian Men's Fellowship. There's a Doctors Fellowship, Christian Doctors Fellowship. And they go overseas and do all kinds of nice things. And I no doubt they are well-meaning. But there's not a shred of foundational truth in the Scripture for them. Not one bit. In fact, the Scripture speaks against them in this. Let me just tell you something very unique about the assembly. In the Bible times, and even today, in the Bible times, you had masters and slaves sitting down breaking bread together. And they were equal. You had lawyers. You had Jews. You had Gentiles. You had rich. You had poor. And they sat down together. And the grace of God and the gathering of the Holy Spirit had made them all one in Christ. Now, how do I get into this doctor's fellowship? They won't let me in. You say, why not? Because I'm not a doctor. I'm excluded. What Christ paid for with precious blood to bring together, men with good intentions are demolishing it. God wanted to make one of all His people. He wanted them together. No cultural differences. No differences in status. No job differences. He put them all together and He said, now I'll give you grace to learn to get along one with another in one place and in one spirit and in one mind, gathered to one person alone. How do I get into the men's business fellowship? Got to be a businessman. Counts me out. I think they even have a nurses fellowship, where nurses get together and read the Bible and pray together. Great, great ideas. I'm not belittling them. Great ideas. But no basis in the Scripture is what I'm trying to tell you. What God did with the assembly, these para-churches, these outside fellowships, men's fellowships and women's fellowship, they're breaking down what God had put together. And boy, it cost Him everything to put it together. It cost Him all that He had. So you want to live for Christ? You want to do something for God? You want your life to count in this world? Then can I tell you, young people, pour your heart and soul into the local assembly. Pour your life. Give your energy. Give your zeal. Give your time into the local assembly where you meet. Pour your life into that. That belongs to God. And God says He will reward you. God will reward you. You give it your all, because in doing so, you'll be serving the Lord Christ.